یا علی مدد. الوائز رائے ابو علی مشنری، وائز نمبر 431.
In various provinces of Iran. Then Asghar Shah left Iran, came to India. Sultan Mahmud Shah went to Europe. Maulana Hazar Imam is now living in Europe. You see, this Imamat has changed routes. And Hazar Imam is not going to live all the time in Europe. Maybe in this Jama or next Jama, they will give up staying in Europe. They will go to some other place. In one of my wives, I have expressed my dua and my desire that one day Imamat will come to Canada. Amen. But what I said, Imamat, place of Imamat, center of Imamat activities has changed. It will go back to Indian subcontinent, that is Pakistan. Not in next century, maybe at the end of the next century or in the beginning of 22nd century. According to Ginans, whatever I'm telling you, it is not my gut work, it is not my imagination, but it is a calculated fact from our Ginans. And Pakistan one day will have our Imam as the ruler of the kingdom. Although it is not during our lifetime, but it is coming. I started from that little story about Farman of Sultan Mahmud Shah, that after 100 years Ismaili was about to be wiped out. Obviously, there is only one Imam, and that is Ismaili Imam, claiming to be the rightful Imam, direct descendant from Prophet Muhammad, and all our Imams have done it. All our Imams have also told and declared that Imamat will last forever, till the end of this world. And up to now, that is absolutely correct and rightful. Shia people, particularly Ismailis, they are without Imam, but they believe in the institution of Imamat. They believe. They are with us up to Imam Jafar Sadiq. Then diversion took place. And their 12th Imam went into hiding. Imam Ghaib Taygo. It's about 1,000 years. They have no Imam. But eventually, within next 50 days, my calculation, most of the Ismaili community, Ismaili firqa, they will accept our Imam. Not 100%, but most of them. They will accept Hazrat Imam, whoever Hazrat Imam is at that time, in say 40, 50 years. And their Shia tradition will be enhanced and carried to some extent by the Imam of Hazrat Imam is taking pain after telling us, you do that. Imams are not rulers. You do it or other issue. It is not that. Imam like kind father or loving mother. Don't do this, do this. If you don't follow, he will tell you it's not a good thing. You have lost a chance. So that in that way, Hazrat Imam, from the time of Imam Sultan Mahmud Shah, has been telling us for the past 50 years, which I know personally, that you read Islamic history, your own history, read about Shiaism, study the difference between Sunnis and Shias. But in the last 50 years, we haven't done whatever had to be done. We are still ignorant about it. Books are there, but our people have no time to read these books. I hope and pray that next generation may take this kind of activity and read the books. So much material is coming up now about Shiaism. And in that literature, so many things are very near to us. You know, the confusion here is amongst Ismaili youth and non-Ismailis that why the things that traditional Ismailis are doing in Jamaat Khanat are not amongst Muslims. For instance, Nandi. There is no Nandi in the mosque. There is no Chanta in the mosque. There is no Mehmani in the mosque. All such things which are in our Jamaat Khanat are not found in other places amongst the Shia or the Sunnis. So this confusion creates doubt amongst some hearts. For the past 50, 60 years, that ALM, whatever we do, Jamaat Khanas, our rites, our rituals, our practices, down from the time of Prophet Muhammad. All these things in one way or the other were being practiced during his own time. I have no time presently now to elaborate each and everything, but I have done. It is in my vices. Nandi, Thar, Sukro, Mehmani, Chantro, even Sukrit. I mean, Sugrit, not in this form, that Kheer, Kangarat, Amrit, Bhojan, the milk and wheat bran, or I mean, atta flour, ghee, like butter and sugar, then we put Nyas. But in that time, because there is no wheat in Arabia, so it wasn't in this form, but Sugrit was there. Rasulullah himself used to remove the stone from the dates and mixing with the hand and foot, and he was in place of Sukrit, he was giving this as a juruk. He himself was conducting ceremony of Niyas. He was also receiving Mehmanis. And the women of Medina, they used to cook whatever the things at home, and a portion, small portion, of the cooked things to Prophet Muhammad, and he would eat it with other asal. There was no Nandi-like option, wasn't there, but he received it. Here we auction the food because we cannot send it physically to Hazrat Imam. Suppose you have cooked biryani and you make it a mehmani to Hazrat Imam. How to send this biryani there? And if he starts this kind of business, so there will be thousands of persons from all over the world, but he would do it. So it was his order, according to the Bible from Musa, alayhi salam. Option it, collect the money, send to me. But that was also the practice during the time of Muhammad. So what I say that all these ceremonies that we are conducting in our Jamaat Khanas are not new, and many ignorant people, including many ignorant scholars of our Ismaili Institute and others, they simply will say, because they don't know, they put a label on that. That is from the Hindu side, just to convert Hindus. It's a very wrong statement. Nothing from Hinduism. Of course, because of the language, the names Hindus have come in our Vedas. Rasulullah also was giving niyaz, that part. He suddenly, because he wanted to establish Jamaat there in India, so he used the Hindi language and the cultural ways of the country where he wanted to work. But there isn't any Hinduism in this. If you say Quran, Quran has also many stories of those people who weren't Muslims. Many stories are from the Kafirs also. So mention of a thing as an evidence is a different thing. It doesn't become the part and parcel of the religion or faith. So our Jamaat is very ignorant. Our people have no time to read such books that they may understand Ismaili faith. For that reason, Imam will have to, whether he likes it or not, have to change certain things in our practices. He will make change. But it is he only who can make change. No other person has that kind of prerogative. It is only Imam's wish. Suppose these Afghani people who have come here, in their Jamaat, there wasn't any ceremony of Nabi. But now they come here and they see, and then they ask, and then now they understand that what is Nadi? Nadi is an Imani. So Hazrat Imam may, in future, to bring other Shias near him, he may change certain things. He may not change even, but we will have to go towards them, and they will have to come towards us at a stated meeting place. Hazrat Imam will take this kind of work or business, when and where. But we must go near the Muslim Ummah. Not necessarily that we go to mosque and say our namaz there, but at least meet them. Say Assalamu Alaikum. Alhamdulillah. We are Muslim, you are Muslim. But you know, the trend has become in such a way that whenever you meet a Muslim and he is your friend, becomes friend, and then he will ask you, why you Ismailis don't pray? And we people, we keep calm, mum, because we have no answer. It is our mistake. We must be prepared to give answer, reply them in a legitimate way so that they are convinced. You can very well say, we are praying, but you say, you are. The word namaz is not found in Quran. In Quran, either dua, dua is Arabic word. So you are saying dua, the same thing. The part, best part of the contains six parts, and all those parts are ayats from the Quran. Is different, but the main criteria is to remember God and thank Him. I really tell them, but we must be prepared how to be very high. Now, about Imam. Sunnis have no institution of Imamate. Shias are there. And Shia Sunni, they are fighting for 1400 years. Including us. Quran is full of many ayats about Imamat. I cannot start a class in such a gathering, but I tell you, many places Allah says, I have sent down two things, my Noor and the book. Well, book, we can see Quran and Park. Where is the Noor? Nowhere except our Imam. He claims, no other person has claimed that I am the holder of Noor. So we can talk from Quran and Hadith. But what I want to draw your attention, Ummah has no guide. Ever since Murtaza Ali died, Muawiyah usurped the power and he became caliph. Actually, these Bani Umayyah people, they ruled for 90 years. They were the rulers, not caliphs. So the history is there. Now, in this age, old things are being dug out. Many old manuscripts have come up, and where the original work is in the hands of scholars. The difference between Shia and Sunni has been, searched for that. The scholars have come to know what is the right, what is wrong. And inshallah, by the efforts of non-Muslim scholars, we will come across the real work done by the historians of that time. We are very near to that way. But you know, we Ismailis, as I just said repeatedly, we are not interested in reading or writing. We must read books. We must read, think over it, and teach to your children that what is the truth. Unfortunately, in Canada, a group of our enemies, they are spreading their tentacles all over Canada. I have got, the factual news information. Baha'i people, you know, the conspiracy is like this. The Sanashiri people, they turn to Baha'ism. Then these Baha'is, they are after our children, youngsters, converting them to Baha'ism. And if once an Ismaili leaves his historical faith, Ismailism, and turns to Baha'ism, then they take him to Sanashiri faith. This conspiracy is going like that. And it has started from Vancouver. They have come even here, in Toronto. They are going to spread. Another heartbreaking story is some Ismaili youngsters, they are using internet to boost anti-Ismaili propaganda. Internet is telling them. This is a very bad story. Internet is free. And because they have no control of any kind, rationally or irrationally, they are talking nonsense in this media of internet. And please do not get influenced whatever you read in internet. Read good books. Some people say, why don't we reply them? You can talk to a sensible person who has a sense of justice, balance of mind, who may accept right and wrong. But those people who have tunnel vision or one-mindedness, normally we say they are stubborn or obstinate, You cannot talk to such a person, and it is better not to talk. Imam Sultan Ahmad Shah has given a little story. He says that one day Jesus with his certain companions went out to just have a walk. He was talking and walking through an alley, a gully. All of a sudden, a person who was coming from the front, Jesus saw him, turned his face back, and went into hiding. He went into a small lane and hid himself. The Ashab, the companions of Jesus, were astounded when that man passed from them. Jesus came out. The companion asked, "Ya Prophet, O Prophet, what has happened? You are such a mighty person that a dead body comes to life on your order. You remove the diseases and calamities. Even you are not afraid of any lion or any wild animal. And why did you run away?" He said, "That fellow was coming." So they said that he was simply a human being. He said, "Yes, but that fellow, he was a nadan, ignorant man. Had he come here, he would have started talking and questioning to me, and whatever I would have said, he would have never accepted. So better not to waste time, my enemy." So you know, amongst us, there are some people of that nature. They just fix a thing in their mind, then they don't move. No logic, no history, no facts can change them. That is against Ismaili faith. We must be absolutely certain about our Ismaili faith and then adhere to it. Adherence is a different thing, stubbornness is a different thing. So we must be convinced about it. I mean, this is my message of tonight. Thank you very much that you heard me. And if you have any question, please bring it to me. More than half an hour has passed. Bani Abbas, who have ruled as caliphs about 900 to 950 years. They tried three times gathering the conference of mullahs and maulvis, Sunnis all, and the caliph, Abbasi caliph, would tell them to write a fatwa that Ismail the Imam is not the direct descendant. So under this condition of subjugation, these mullahs, they had written. But if once it was written, what was the necessity of second time and third time? Because people did not accept that, the first one, the second one, and the third one. Our enemies have tried very hard to prove it, and they have failed. I tell you, every time an imam of the time, whenever Ismailis used to pray, all times, right from Hazrat Ali, after prayer, at the end of the prayer, the Ismaili Jamaat would state the names of their imams at the end of the prayer and seek God's mercy through them, as now we are also doing. So every time, without fail, Ismaili Jamaat, right from the time of Hazrat Ali and after the time of Imam Jafar Sadiq, during the time of Ismail alayhi salam, and the Musa Kazim that Jesus Masters are following, they did not do what we are still doing. This is one of the greatest proofs that Ismailis have always, at the end of their prayer, had said the names of our imams. And you people know that only 40 years ago, when Imam Sultan Muhammad Shah died, we used to say his name. Now we have added Hazrat Imam's name. So there isn't any flaw in that. Secondly, if the genealogy was wrong, somewhere there should be a break. And this logic has been used by them. What they say, during the time of Hassan al-Zikri al-Salam, there was another Hassan. And second time, they say, at the time of Palamut, it was Hassan, but that was not the son of the Imam. I mean, you know, these are the things that they are doing. These ignorant people do not know. When a wife of any Imam is going to deliver a son, it is not unattended. There may be so many women at that time nearby to wait that the future Imam is taking birth. And at that time, what they say, this child was a chant. It is not possible in that way. Because the Imam of that time in Alamud, he was the king, he was the ruler. And Tom, Dick and Harry could not just go into the palace and do that. It is not possible. Unimaginable, unethical, unlogic is working.
Satvani mean genealogy.
Satvani, yeah.
How would you answer, make this question amongst you?
Let us fashion.
That they would like to be cremated instead of buried, because it makes logical sense, physically, the logistical.
Amongst Ismailis?
It's
a news to me.
That they don't want to be buried because it creates pollution, it takes up land. What is wrong? And they're arguing that it's the soul that is eternal, the body has no value. Whether it's buried in the dirt or whether it's connected, ashes to ashes, they're talking about these things. How would you counter that?
See, if we are Muslim, we believe in Quran. Either you say, I'm not a Muslim, then you either cremate or throw in the ocean or whatever. Are you a Muslim? If yes, then follow what Quran says. Quran says, you belong to God. And you have to return to Him spiritually, also physically. Allah has commanded to bury your dead. Why? Because in the grave, most of the people who die, and during the death,
has recently spoken on the acceptance of pluralism in faith. Could you please elaborate on this? What is the Imam saying to us or the community at large with respect to pluralism in faith?
Up to recent times, practically all communities in the past, they lived in a tight room, airtight. That means no community looked outside its own sphere of influence. I give you a personal experience. In the past, a Kachi would not give his daughter to an other non-Kachi. Kachiawadi would not give his daughter to non-Kachiawadi. I mean, that condition was individuality, which was always by all the prophets in the past was condemned. The time has changed now. And intercommunities, intercontinents, internation matters are coming up. People are freely taking their spouse from any community of any continent. Hazrat Imam is leading us to the pluralism in a way, not in this way. This is simply an example. But Hazrat Imam is thinking, telling us to think that the future is not based on the past, but based on the present. We had to, apart from our faith, apart from our spiritual sight, we have to live, we are living and have to live with other communities, and we must keep our good relations with all communities, irrespective of any person or any community. There are so many spheres of your life that we people can mix with other people. Say, education, industry, farming, culture. We can just, make the interdenominational activities so that we can create a society of all people equally enjoying the freedom and peace of life. That is the pluralism. And not only that, we give, we also take good things from any society or any community. Inside our own community, a Pakistani or an Indian, an Afghani or a Tajik, we still have some barriers amongst these things. Recently, a Khoja boy asked the hand of an Afghani girl. Her parents did not agree. I mean, still we have such kind of notions amongst us. whichever one wants should be broken off. There will be a time, and inshallah that time is coming very soon. I do remember Balana Imam Sultan Muhammad Shah in 1956, he went to London to see the Jamaat. Most of the people there amongst the Ismailis were students studying there in London. And at that time, no sorry, this was 1954. At that time, Maulana Sultan Muhammad Shah made a farman in Jamaat Khana that Khoja and non-Khojas should intermingle in a way of marriage. There isn't it any bad thing. You are all my spiritual children. Because up to that time, rather, after even after that, Kachi, Kachiawadi, Punjabi, Sindhi, Hindi, these are barriers were taking place. After a few days, a man from Nairobi, very famous person, I don't give his name, he went to see Sultan Muhammad Shah in France. He said, Khudavan, you told on that day about that, and I'm eligible to get married, and I'm thinking I may go to Syria and marry an Ismaili girl from Syria. Oh, Mullah Sultan Muhammad Shah became very happy. He gave him, next day he gave him a letter. Imam Sultan Muhammad Shah wrote a letter to the Mukhi Kamaliya of Salamiya. He went there. Now he was about 5'1", frail and thin fellow. He was a lawyer. He went there, and when he saw 6-foot-high girls, very tough, he came back, did not marry. There was two things, size of the body, and also difference between the cultures and language. Syrians, mostly they speak their own mother tongue, the Arabic, and some they spoke French. So this fellow came back. But Imam Sultan Muhammad Shah didn't like that. But he wanted that there should be marriages between all sorts of Ismailis so that it may become a universal pluralism. Yeah.
In some areas of the world, such as Iran and Syria, common areas of worship exist for Ismailis and other Shias. Are these Jamaat Khanas? And is this something that can be foreseen to happen in the future in other areas of the world?
Yes, in Iran, I've seen Iran 22 times. There are many places that they have Jamaat Khanas there in Iran, particularly in the north side. In some places, the whole complete 100% village is Ismaili. No non-Ismaili is there, like Jizwad, Aliabad, Sultanabad. So there are places, in remote places, Jamaat Khanas and our Ismaili Tariqa. But in Tehran or big places, we are underground. We don't call ourselves Ismailis. But there are hundreds of thousands of Ismailis in Iran. There are Jamaat Khanas, there are no Jamaat Khanas. In Tajikistan, in Salamiya and Syria, there are Jamaat Khanas for a long time. And they are openly, professing Ismailism. But in Tajikistan, Tajikistan is a long country. From west to east is longer than north to south. If north to south is 1 mile, it is about 6 miles. a husband to Tajikistan. It is actually geographically, politically divided in two portions. If you stand before the map, the eastern side of Tajikistan, that is on the right side, it is known as Shughnan. And it is about 40 or 41% of the whole country. The other part is bigger than this part. And the other part actually is known as Tajikistan. This is Shughnan. Because they are in majority, so they have combined in one country known as Tajikistan. But according to the Soviet law, and because these countries became free in 1902 after Soviet Empire broke down, so this portion, Shughnan, is independent, autonomous area. But because they have no money, they have no army, there are no resources to manage and run the country, so they joined Tajikistan as one country. Shughnan is 95% Ismaili. And if you go further to the head office, which is known as Khorog, it is 100% Ismaili. They are originally known as Badakhshani. There is a river, the boundary is a river, and across this river is Afghanistan. Now this is the Badakhshan, western Badakhshan, and the other side is eastern Badakhshan. It is much larger than this portion, which is in Afghanistan, that is much bigger, but poor, and they are mostly peasants and farmers and labor people. This side is very good. 98% literacy amongst us, there is university and hospital, well developed, this area. And the other side, the Badakhshan of Afghanistan, is 100% Ismaili. And Afghani people, they tell me, because we have no population count, but Afghanis say that they are 2.5 million Ismailis there in Afghanistan area. And here, around about 500,000 around. And Tajik people are very good people, well-trained people, well-educated people, though they are poor, poor in the way that the Russian government did not improve these areas in industry way or other way. But there is potential, great potential in underground, and that is rubies and diamonds and all these things are there, minerals are there. It may take some years, that Hazrat Imam is telling them, helping them, and one day they will go for it. But potential is there. Tajikistan people, very staunch people. The first Imam ever went to Tajikistan was Imam Zainul Abidin. Imam Zainul Abidin, our third Imam, Ali, Hussein and Zainul Abidin. So I have gone there to see that place where Imam Zainul Abidin came and stayed. He was sitting under a big rock. Now in those days, Islam did not spread to these areas. So those kafir people, they tried to throw a big rock as big as four times this house, whole complete house, four times big than that. And that rock, when they were trying to put it down, Imam Zainul Abidin gave this sign of hand, so that a rock was tumbling, but when Imam gave the rock the sign, it stopped there. Now, the slope is very big. But that rock is like this. Just on the edge, it is standing here.
All that many years.
Yeah. 1400 years, 1300 years have passed. That rock is still there. Then the imam went up. Went up and he placed his two hands on the rock. So those two hands went into the rock. So I've seen, I've also photographed. Mehboob has the photograph, but he has not shown you yet. Catch hold of it. So Imam put his two hands on that rock, and that rock stood there, up to him. Then Imam Muhammad Baqir also visited. So there was a stone which had a little backrest also. So it seems as it was a kind of chair. No one made it, but Imam sat on that chair of stone. And up to now they have preserved it. So these people are the oldest Ismailis, Najd people, from the time of Maulana Murtaza Ali. In 1922 and 23, Imam Sultan Mahmud Shah sent with Sabzali to Tajikistan and other areas with his Talika. And Hazrat Imam Sultan Shah said, stop or say, cease saying your dua. They were saying dua, reciting dua, that old dua, Hindi dua, dua puru Mukhi Sahib, dua puru Kamani Sahib, dua puru Salwa Jamaat. That dua Sultan Mahmud Shah stopped. And instead of dua, you recite, say, five tasbih of Pir Shah. Five tasbihs of Pir Shah means your dua is accepted. So they are reciting 15 tasbihs of Pir Shah for 3 prayers. Now Hazrat Imam has introduced dua. So Pir Sabzali went there on Farman of Sultan Ahmad Shah and he closed the Jamaat Khanas. Close Jamaat Khanas, say your prayers at home, and instead of dua, say Pir Shah tasbih. After about a year, Lenin, the first president of, rather dictator of Russia, Soviet Union, he ordered that all religious places should be destroyed. Mosques, churches, synagogues, all were destroyed. So our Jamaat Khanas were saved because there were no Jamaat Khanas. So in that way, they kept the Iman concealed, hidden, and now time has come. Now openly they say we are Ismailis. And they are really very good people. Egbin Hokeo? Yes,
sir. Huh? Sir, we will go to
your
lectures. Huh? We will go to your lectures.
मैं किसी को ले जाने वाला नहीं, मैं खुद
जाऊँ। तो फिर कहते क्यों हो? तो फिर जिक्र किसने
किया? मेरा तो काम ये है कि कहूँ, वाइज़े करता हूँ, लेक्चर देता हूँ, मेरा काम ये है कि भाई ये देखो इसमें ये है, करना तो पड़ा, नहीं करना ना। Second question.
Who are Harut and Marut, and what role are they supposed to play in the future, if any?
In Quran there is a story. In a conference of angels, when God created man on earth and gave him many powers, so certain angels very politely, in a humble way, they expressed their concern about man. Oh God, we are your servants. And man is also your servant, you are created. But you have given man superior on us, superior position. So God said that, listen, whatever I have done, you cannot understand. Man in great difficulties, that which you cannot stand, still he remains firm. So, if there is someone amongst you, I will send them on earth to see what man is doing and in what environment or circumstances is doing. So these two angels stood up. One was Harut, the other was Marut. And it is in Quran. So Allah sent them down in the form of man, human being. So when they came, they landed somewhere in Iraq. When they landed at a place, it was a very big maidan, and a dancer was dancing with music, and people were enjoying her dance. She was a very beautiful woman. Now, they came down as human beings with also human senses, God gave. So they went up and saw that girl, so they told, let us take her away and we sit and have talk with her. So one of them, he went up after the dance was over and said, we like you, would you like to come with us? She said, yes, but you people are angels. They were looking at each other, how she knows. They asked, how do you know that we are angels? Aren't you angels? Yes, we are angels. But how do you know? She said, look, sun is there. Everyone has shadow. You people have no shadow. They said, yes. Okay, I'm coming with you. With one condition. Tell me, your Ism-e-Azam. The Ism-e-Azam is the power that angels fly. She was so beautiful. They were so tempted because God had made like that. There is a story of Vishwamitra, yeah, that 50,000 years of tap went away when he opened one eye and see that. One of them, he spoke his Ism-e-Azam. Immediately, she spoke the Ism-e-Azam and she flew up in the sky. This way. And they then realized God sent other angels, arrest them, bind their feet, put them upside down, head down, feet up, hang them with feet up and head down in the Chah Babul, well in the Babul, Babylonia. And Allah says, up to Qiyamah, up to end of this world, they will remain there, and they are still there. Harut and Marut. This story has a moral. Number one, they distrust their feelings and iman on Allah. Their iman shook. And this shock of iman gave them andharo in their vision, the angelic nuri position was removed and they were cursed, put down. So, whatever God does, whatever He thinks fit, we must keep the iman.
Mr. Sahib, you mentioned about the internet. You say that we should be aware of or rather keep away from the information that is coming through the internet. obviously he did not mean all of the internet.
No, no, certainly not. Whatever is eatable in among the fruit, eat. And the things which is a skin or stones, not eat it. I meant that to have that kind of sift the things and then eat. I don't say that to close your internet thing, but guard your iman, because in internet so many things are coming. Actually, I mean internet that Ismailis are conducting. Even non-Ismailis, there are so many propagandas going on in favor and in against Islam, also against Ismailis. So we must not just carry it on by the propaganda of internet.
For our benefit, could you possibly elaborate, because there have often been times when the internet is the only access to get firmans or certain gnats.
Actually, you know, we Ismailis are in a closed circuit of our faith. And if you are using or fingering towards internet for supply of firmans or other things, it is against our religion. It's against our faith. As in the beginning I told you that there was a firman of Sultan Muhammad Shah that after 100 years this national faith will decay. People have not understood this firman that it is after 100 years. So they have just taken and making the propaganda amongst us that next year is 100 years over, and they are still there, this or that, misunderstanding of the reference of Dinans, Farmans, Hadiths, or even quotations of Quran. You know, many people, they have brought in internet some Farameens of Imam Ali Shah Mahbub. And they have used such words which Imam Ali Shah, there is a doubt, did say or not said. There is no evidence. That Farman or some other Farmans written by so many people in those days, there weren't tape recorders or other chronology method or simply. Ali Shah Mahbub or even Sultan Muhammad Shah Mahbub or even our Hazrat Imam now, he comes in Jamaat Khana, he speaks. Of course now we have tape recorders. But in olden days there were no tape recorders. Sultan Muhammad Shah's time, missionaries were allotted duties to write down farmans of Imam Sultan Muhammad Shah. I myself have done many times in Bombay. Imam speaks, I write. Then another missionary or myself or those two or three missionaries who have been given this duty, we sit down and carry the farmans, and those farmans go into the Tariqa Ismail Association, and then they are printed after the approval of Imam Sultan Muhammad Shah. Yet we may not be able to do it 100% duty and 100% honesty or sincerity, because we cannot just write so fast. Imam was speaking in Urdu and there is no Urdu shorthand. So there may be some mistakes or maybe something less. So during the time of Imam Ali Shah, he was speaking, making farmans in Persian. The Jamaat did not know Persian. Kamariya Haji or some other person like Juma Kamu, they were making translation extempore. I mean, Imam speaks in Urdu, sorry, in Persian, and they are talking into Urdu or Gujarati or Kachi, and some people are writing. So in this condition, we cannot say that all farmans of Ali Shah, Yasna Ali Shah, authentic. Yet, in internet, people have given different means of Imam Ali Shah, and some objectionable words have entered in. So there is a doubt whether Imam Ali Shah did speak or did not. So for that reason I say, this internet source is not to be trusted. The only thing is, Hazrat Imam has, long ago, nearly 20 years ago, he created IIS, Institute of Ismaili Studies. And Hazrat Imam himself is the chairman. Hazrat Imam is giving them certain type of works. Those faramins which Hazrat Imam has approved in our Jamaat, those farmans should be read and not others. Hazrat Imam has made very clear, sometime Hazrat Imam revise the faramins, sometime he changes. So we are Ismailis, believing Hazrat Imam as our Imam. We must get it through Eglemo Institute or Ismaili Tariqa. These are the farmans that we should take. And I have seen that in certain places, certain farmans either missed or added. Some few words have been added. Dangerous.
You just said an example, those people who sing about Karak Prayer and all that.
See? That's one of the things.